Striker Watch, Day 11. Still no sign of goal-scoring life anywhere. Welcome to Under the Abbey Stand, the preview show. It's a jungle out there in the transfer window, but Tom and I are here with our binoculars to guide you through. Good evening, I'm Jordan Warland. I'm, of course, joined by Tom. Good evening, Tom.
Yeah, good to be back. We're not panicking, are we?
How's your January window going so far, mate?
Oh, good. All right? Yeah. 11 days, and admittedly this might age like milk given the quotes that came out of Neil Harris's press conference, but 11 days into the transfer window in which we were desperate for forward reinforcements, and we're so far down one striker,
minus one
with JK Gordon going back. So it's a good start. We hope for more success on the incoming side, should we say, over the next, well, hopefully by the time people are listening to this they'll know, but if not over the next week, definitely. Yeah, it's scary times.
Did sound quite exciting, didn't it? Oh, it's going to be a race against the deadline to see if we get it done for midday.
That's until you
get Beatty back, then it'll be fine.
That's until you kind of discover who the person is that we're trying to get done against time, when it inevitably ends up being some 18-year-old loney no mark from like Swansea or something. Maybe it wasn't worth it in the end at all, but yeah, anyway, we move and we look forward.
Just judge everything you say, Tom. I'm like, is that loaded? Does he know something? Is he not letting on?
No,
he knows. He knows the Swansea youth team really well. You know what info you got there? No.
I was about to say I wish I did then, but then I made sure I need to clarify that what I mean by that is I wish I did have some inside knowledge, and not the fact that I wish I knew the Swansea youth team well, which is a bit of a random tangent to take at this early stage.
It wouldn't be a UTAS podcast without the content going out of date really quickly. So yeah, that the press conference earlier today, Thursday, the day of recording, the day of the press conference, there was mention of a signing being very close. But we'll touch on that in a bit. I guess it's worth saying it's another bloody Fleetwood preview. That's the third one this season. Hopefully it will follow the pattern of wins by two goals. So 2-0 at the start of the season, 4-0 last time, 6-0 incoming on Saturday, hopefully.
Speaking of things that will age like milk, there's one.
Yeah. Before we talk about the Fleetwood game specifically, I guess it's probably a good point to sort of reflect on the fact that actually the Fleetwood game is the start of a really crucial period. I mean, arguably, you could say that period started back when we played Orient. But over the next eight games, Tom, if my maths is right, we play six of the bottom 10. Neil Harris in the press conference earlier today said this period is all about amassing points, and that's what he wants.
That's good.
Do you feel confident that we will be successful in amassing points? And what's your, what do you think should be the minimum we should be aiming for? And what do you think the reality is going to be?
Do you know what? It's a really interesting one, this, because, and this is something I discussed with of this parish, Matt Casper, on a couple of occasions. So our next three, right, you're looking Fleetwood at home, Exeter away, Burton at home. Mm-hmm. In a strange sort of way, you'd almost rather 5 points from that than six, because six indicates that you've lost one, right? And you don't want to lose against any of those teams, because they're inevitably going to be our rivals for the rest of the season. But obviously five is famously less than six, so it's a bit of a weird kind of conundrum to do in your head. I don't think it's any exaggeration to say that I think the next 6 weeks decide our season. There's plenty of winnable games in there, 6 to 8 weeks, that is. I think that as cliche as it is, these are the games that, like, it feels like if you don't win these, then the games that you're going to have to win are going to be a lot more difficult. If you look immediately after the run of the next four, which I think are all eminently winnable football matches, you then got Bolton at home, and it's like...
Well, the whole period is just one big contrast, isn't it? Because, yeah, you're right, it's Bolton, but then you've also got Portsmouth and Borough in this period as well.
Yeah, well, it's kind of leading up to that week in which... So, obviously, we play Bolton, then we're sort of back to it against Cheltenham. And then we play Pompey, and then we've got a run where we play Posh, Stevenage, Bolton, then Northampton, and inexplicably are a top half team now as well. I think, and look, the thing is as well, like, you can kind of ease yourself into a situation where those games against, like, you know, your Reddings, for example, and obviously latterly in the season, like Port Vale, for example, where like they just become a little bit more irrelevant. And that's kind of what we want. You know, we talked a lot, particularly with the change of manager, about what we were hoping for. And that was basically that survival this season might look something a little more comfortable than it did last season. And you know what, if you go and you win, let's say, 3 of your next 5 games, which I think is an achievable thing and something we should be aiming for, you know, if you win your home games, basically, in the next 5, that is, and that's not even including the Bolton game, by the way. Sorry, that is including the Bolton game. My bad. the point I'm making is that there's enough winnable fixtures here coming up to, like, 3 or 4 games changes this really, really quickly. So yeah, it's a really big run of games, and like I mentioned just a moment ago, I don't think it's any exaggeration to say that this bit goes well and you probably do about 80% of the job for the rest of the season in the next 6 weeks. And that's, as much as it is a big opportunity, it's also maybe a little scary, because, you know, we can be sat here in 6 weeks time going, oh, the Poitras Town wasn't quite what we wanted it to be, and now we've got to go to Peterborough and get something, or now we've got to go to Pompey and get something.
We've got 7 games in February. That's mental. That's too many games.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal. I mean,
does that make you think? I hadn't really thought too much about this until sort of seeing the fixtures on screen here. You know, we've come into this window knowing we need a striker and a right back. We've known that for quite a while. Others might have disagreed, and perhaps that's why they hadn't started the recruitment process as early as we would have liked.
We're experts, though, Jordan. We're expected to know this stuff.
We've got the badges, we've got all sorts. But, like, I sort of look at that and I think that fixture congestion, I wonder if we need more than just sort of the obvious right back cover centre forward players. I'm wondering.
Fucking
if
hell,
we,
mate. Don't give
I
us too
if
much
we need
to
do.
More
to get
don't
in,
give us too Look,
to
baby
it.
Steps here, right? Baby steps. There's panic buying the last week of the window, but for now, let's focus on the big picture stuff, which is ultimately a fit working striker, and maybe a right back if we can get around to it. But no, yeah, you're right. Admittedly, it might end up being 6 games. We're not sure if Stevenage will be able to host that fixture like last time. That's obviously still under question. And but yeah, no, you're right. I guess the caveat to this is that maybe at some point you start to have a few players back, and that's a good thing as well, right?
Yeah, just seeing 7 games in a month and none of them being a pizza trophy waste of time is like a little bit
sickening,
demoralizing. Right, so upcoming period, I think we're in agreement. Let's amass some points. I like your conundrum. 5 or 6. I think I'd go for 5. Why not?
Isn't that weird? I don't think I've ever thought that before.
Of the 3, Fleetwood, Exeter, Burton, which would you say is more okay to lose?
I don't think any of them are okay to lose.
Mm.
I think, like, you know, Burton obviously just appointed a manager who is, Martin Patterson, is a questionable appointment by the sounds of it. You know, I'm not casting any aspersions. I don't know anything about him. He might be the next, Bill Shankly for all I know, but he probably won't be. You know, obviously Exeter, we saw them not that long ago, and we know that they're a team that are probably likely to be down and around the sort of bottom 4. Fleetwood obviously are just bottom of the league, so that just looks bad. So yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, I think you can look at it as the next 4, because Shrewsbury, I think, are going to be down there as well. These games, we just got to take points from. And I know that that's really obvious, and so I was maybe a little flippant, shall we say. And Neil Harris's comments, it's all about amassing points. Yeah, that's how it works. That's kind of what you have to do. I think we have to try and remain unbeaten in the next 3 at least. But, you know, it does become a point where you're kind of almost like, is a home draw against Fleetwood enough? Probably not. Like, you want to be getting wins in these games as well, because it's the old-fashioned 6-pointer, isn't it, Jord?
Well, it's the win the next game mentality, right? Can't be thinking about, like, two draws out of the next 3.
I'd forgotten about that.
It's not part of the mentality. So
that's maybe why we've lost a few games and not won one for a while. I've just totally forgotten the win the next game mentality.
Right, let's talk about the transfer window a little bit then.
Oh, good. That's what we're here for.
11 days in at the time of recording. We're close to a signing, apparently. Like you said at the top of the call, we are actually down a player. John Kamani-Gordon has gone back
to Crystal Palace. It's funny, isn't it?
It's gone back to Crystal Palace. wasn't the Kwezi Sully Kaikai Palace loan that we had hoped for, but we move on. Neil Harris earlier today said that instead of Gordon going back to Palace, I think it just came to a natural conclusion that John's loan was finished. Palace were happy for him to go back. What was your take on Kamani Gordon's time with us, and would you have considered keeping him on?
Early promise and just failed to deliver anything of any sort of substance, I think. I think I would have been tempted to keep him on for the next sort of 72 hours because we do need some forwards. I'm not sure if that was a viable option in the loan agreement. Probably not. But no, look, we don't want to speculate loads about what was going on behind the scenes, but Harris referred to it in quite strong terms that he fundamentally wasn't given enough. You know, maybe in the sort of softer parts of the game, you know, in terms of literally just turning up on time and working hard and stuff to warrant an appearance in a game where we were literally crying out for any sort of forward intention. And that kind of told the story, really. Like, I don't think it's one where he's not a good footballer. Like, I think, you know, it's fair to say there's some talent in there. We saw flashes of it at times, particularly sort of earlier in his spell. And he's one that I think everyone had kind of high hopes for. I think particularly his role that he played in that, I think it was Fajiri's equaliser against Port Vale. Was brilliant. And you're thinking, right, we've got a player on our hands here who can impact games at this level. And I remember it sort of around September time. Pardon me, we were thinking, like, he's made a few good impacts off the bench. Like, this guy needs to be in the team now. And he just never really seemed to capitalise on it when he had chances. And, you know, fundamentally, I think we've talked that the squad's going to be rotated a little bit. You know, you would hope more incomings and outgoings because of what we've already talked about. But, yeah, I think it would have been a strange move to kind of keep him on for the rest of the season. Really just didn't really work out. He might have a career at some level. We might not. You know, logic dictates that if you don't have an unbelievable talent about you, which, I mean, if you're not in the Palace first team at the age he is already, probably suggest maybe you don't, then you better fucking make up for it in the rest of your, you know, your sort of profile. And that's particularly in terms of work rate and energy and just giving a shit. And that obviously wasn't what was happening while he was here. And that's why it's not worked out. And if he can maybe improve on that, then he's obviously got every chance. But if not, then it's just going to, you know, the Cambridge United loan spell is going to be basically the highlight of his career. And that's not necessarily what young footballers set out to achieve, should we say. So, yeah, not devastated to see him go, but obviously, it, you know, the optics of it are that we are a striker down from where we were before. So it just looks a bit odd.
I want to return to sort of some comments that Neil Harris made. I'm trying to remember the date now. I'm pretty sure it was before Blackburn. I think it was at the very start of January. And basically said something along the lines of moves in January are sort of put in place as far back as like September, October, and was basically suggesting that we are behind schedule. You know, we don't have things in place and we are late to the market. I guess 2 points on that, Tom. Like, how surprised were you to hear that? And then a really obvious one, how concerned were you to hear that?
Well, I'm surprised that it seems like the sentiment coming out of the club, at least publicly, like, I don't know, you know, what's been going on exactly behind the scenes, but it seems like the injury to Ahadmay is what's got everyone's arse in gear. You know, which is fair because, you know, your striker gets injured, you need to go out and replace him. But before that, like, the alarm bell should have been ringing like long before that. You know, we're talking sort of like October time, I think. And weirdly enough, like, I don't think this is a problem that we looked at in summer and went, there's a big issue here. But in hindsight, you look at it now and you're like, oh no, we do literally only have like two centre forwards. Maybe we thought that, you know, Kachunga might be a slightly different profile of player than he's turned out to be, which is obviously not necessarily the out and out striker that maybe we assumed he could have been. And that maybe explains it a little bit. But, you know, you look at it now and you think this is absolutely bonkers. Like, we only had two strikers going into a season, one of them obviously being Fajiri, who's not played barely any football for like 2 years, and one being Ahadmay, who is at best streaky, even though we've seen probably the best of him pre-injury. You know, you don't necessarily want to be relying on that person as potentially your only option, and lo and behold, here we are, right? I'm also a little concerned that of any sort of suggestion that the change in manager really impacted on our January plans, because I don't really think that Bonner being here or Harris being here dictates what we needed. I think it was always pretty obvious. Like, Harris came in and literally in the first week he was like, there's only two strikers in, there's only one right back. Like, it's obvious what this squad needs. So I don't really think the change in manager should have had any impact on that. So I can only assume, and this is obviously the conclusion that a lot of people have drawn, which is why we've had some of the correspondence in that we have, that the plans won't be made behind the scenes. And that unfortunately falls at the door of people like Ben Strang. And obviously I think there's room for a nuanced discussion on his role at the football club and obviously how that's going, which I think overall has been phenomenal, really. You know, what more do you want from a sporting director than what he's achieved? But there have been now in consecutive seasons examples where big, important parts of the pitch have been left well understaffed. And that's not a great reflection on how things have gone in the planning of recruitment department, I guess.
I wonder, I mean, you're right. It is definitely worth discussing Strang's role and what he's, you know, what he is doing well, isn't doing well and so forth. But I wonder if another factor to consider is the change of manager, not because of, you know, who they want to sign and so forth, but maybe their willingness to go along with the plan or not push back or not demand more. It feels to me.
So you're saying that you think Harris is demanding a bit more from the recruit? You think that Bonner basically wouldn't have been that arsed about bringing someone in?
A little bit, yeah. I'm sure Bonner probably would have wanted more players in. But I feel like Neil Harris is perhaps a bit sterner and is going to fight his corner and maybe demand it a bit more. I could be completely off the radar here, but just
it's all speculation, isn't it?
Just based on what we've heard in this window in interviews, and like you say, when he arrived, he sounds quite sort of forthright in what he wants. So yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I wonder if that is a thing.
That would really concern me, and it would make me think: did we wait way too long to make the change? Frankly, without wanting to go into that discussion again too much. Yeah, look, I think and again, like, this is all kind of speculative a little bit because I don't know the ins and outs of the football club. You don't, and neither does probably anyone listening, frankly. But like, you assume when you run a football club in the model that we do, and a lot of lower league clubs do now, which is have a sporting director or someone in that mold, and then a head coach, that the reason you do that is to reduce the reliance of the football club on the head coach in the way that it operates, its planning, the way it plays, for example, where it sets up. And the head coach should, in theory, become almost interchangeable. You have a set sort of profile of what you want to do, or the sort of people you want at the football club in certain positions. And the way that you build a squad should fundamentally be part of a strategy that goes wider than just what does the manager or what does the head coach want. I don't think there's many managers that would look at pre-season squad planning and go, we only want two number nines, regardless of how many you play. If you play two, obviously, or three, even, then that's obviously firstly not enough. But even if you only play one, then what happens if one gets injured? You know, and that's just quite an obvious thing.
We had a question around that, sort of saying, you know, considering that Bonner only played one up top, why are we mad at the recruitment strategy for not getting a fourth or fifth striker when you've got players like Gordon and Janna who could fill in that position if needed? I think the answer obviously is they're not particularly great at filling in that position when needed. I also don't think Bonner saw Kachunga as a number nine or a nine and a half as Neil Harris calls it. I think he was signed more as a 10 or sort of a wide player.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, like, it might just be the semantics of the way it's written, but no one's moaning about not having five strikers. We're moaning about not having any at the moment. that's the problem. And the problem is that, you know, the foundations of the forward part of the pitch of this squad were built on paper. Like, you know, Fajiri gets injured and then it's Gassan. And then what happens if he gets injured? And now we're here. Look, I think it's a fair argument that if you play one up front, you need less strikers. That's fine. Mm-hmm. What happens if one up front stops working and you need to play two up front? You know, or what happens if you want to change something in game and you want to you want to bring on a second striker or something? Right, you plan not just for your plan A, you plan for your plan B, and you plan for different eventualities. That doesn't mean you have to have five strikers with two sat in the stand every week. Just means you need some bodies there in case things go wrong. And that's what's not happened, and that's what should happen, and that's what we should be rectifying now. And again, like this whole discussion, that, you know, I think what we're saying, the sentiment of it doesn't really change. But if by the time this comes out, and by Monday or something, we have one or two new bodies in there, obviously it all looks a bit different, right? But I think the principle of what we're saying is that it wasn't planned for well enough pre-season, and realistically it was exactly the same in the central midfield part of the pitch last season, and that indicates that maybe there's a problem there that needs looking at and needs kind of understanding and rectifying.
In your opinion, that's a big question this, but in your opinion, would you say the recruitment strategy does need a serious overhaul moving forward?
Feels a bit contradictory, but probably not. And look, it goes back to what I said earlier, I think, that when this sort of stuff goes wrong, nobody looks at the manager. They look at someone like Ben Strang. And I think it's because fundamentally there isn't really a good understanding of what he actually does. And that's not to say that he doesn't do anything. So obviously he's a big, big figure at this football club who, you know, literally oversees the whole football operation. I believe he has responsibility for not just the men's team, but the women's team, probably parts of the academy as well. And obviously he has his fingers in a lot of pies, so to speak, I guess. And the job of, and his sole job is not just to sign footballers. And that needs to be understood. You know, there's people beneath him, there's people that work for him that are also responsible for that. And, you know, as well, like the discussion always seems to be, oh, Strang's not doing his job, he needs to go, sort of thing. But the sporting director shouldn't be judged over one season, shouldn't be judged over one window, should be judged over a decade, in my opinion.
And which he's close to doing, right?
Yeah, well, obviously he's had two spells at the club, right? And the first one of those was when he built the team that got us out of the conference. Mm-hmm. He then went away and came back and rebuilt the team that Sean Derry's recruitment had so incredibly ruined. You know, brought in the likes of Halliday, Uche, these sorts of guys who went on to be really good players for us. And then obviously played a big hand in building the team that got us out of League Two. You know, we don't need to go into all those players, but there's some pretty memorable ones amongst them, right? That's not to say there haven't been difficulties in there, because he's also responsible for a transfer window, overall responsible, I should say, for one transfer window where we only had three strikers, the infamous now, Abire, Kaur, Aziz trio. And then this season where we've actually got less strikers, one of whom is similarly injury prone. So look, I don't think it needs a complete overhaul. I think the way the squad is built needs looking at. We've historically, since we've got into League One, gone with a smaller squad. And mm-hmm. that is something we've always ended up talking about. I'm not suggesting we sit here, you know, assuming we stay up and everything goes well in the summer and we build a squad of like 30 players. There's a middle ground. There's some nuance in there, I think, which is like, you don't have to just have like a really small squad and just try and get by. But at the same time, you don't need to be like kind of too expansive with it. So no, it doesn't need an overhaul. That'd be ridiculous. Something that, you know, objectively has just gone well. Like, you know, you know, if you go from being like a conference football team to one that's kind of survived for 3 years in League One, I don't think there's any need for overhauls here. Which is kind of what's happened. I know there's more moving parts to it, but for me it just needs refining, fine tuning a little bit.
Yeah, it does seem like a missed opportunity this season. We spoke a lot before the season started about it being a more open league, maybe a slightly weaker league compared to ones we, you know, the previous 2 years in League One, compared to what potentially next season in League One might look like. And it felt like this was the season of you know, some ambitions and maybe getting that mid-table finish. And yeah, I don't know, just having an injury-prone striker and then I don't want to say an inexperienced striker, but one who hasn't played a lot of first-team football over the last season or two, you know, wasn't getting in the Ipswich squad. So it always feels like that was never really going to deliver success. So let's wrap it up with some positives and say last January, the window was pretty successful, right?
Very successful.
Late business, which hopefully doesn't, you know, is not as late this time round. But yeah, we left it with what, three really good signings, two of whom are still at the club. So yeah.
And one who we ever so dearly would like back as well, in Mr. McGrandles. No, I think the thing that, you know, frustrates people a lot, and I won't claim to have any knowledge of how possible it is to do, but it's when, you know, you believe it's really obvious what is needed and it takes like more than a week to get it done. I think understandably, like this season, because it was so obvious that we needed sort of forwards in. You're not saying that there will be one there ready waiting for you as soon as the clock ticks midnight on New Year's Eve and you roll over into the new year, but you would like to think that within the first week you have one or two coming in because mm-hmm. you've planned for it, and that's not happened, and that is a legitimate criticism in what I think has been overall a very successful way of running a football department over the last few years. But yeah, look, I don't know how easy that is to do. Other clubs have brought in multiple players already, so it suggests it can be done. But I don't know the ins and outs of why we haven't been able to do it. And, you know, what you can say is that it sounds positive from Harris's press conference that we are getting there. And if that is somebody who comes in before the Fleetwood game, then that's what we need, right? And that's obviously the positive.
Right. Let's move on to the Fleetwood game then. Probably a good point in the pod to pause and listen to another fan whose team are arguably having a tougher time than ours. As always, when we preview Fleetwood, we speak to the one and only Nappers. So yeah, here is the chat I had with the good man himself about Saturday's game.
Right then, news fans, it's time in the show to find out a little bit more about Saturday's opponents, who for the third time this season are Fleetwood Town, helping us get some insight into the recent dramas up at Fleetwood. It's our friend of the pod, host of COD Vlogs. It's Nappers. Good evening, mate.
Hello, mate. Good to be on. A little bit of a stat for you. And this has just kind of come back into my mind because we played you and Derby in two different cups. Mm-hmm. We played Cambridge three times this season, three different managers. Scott Brown, where you beat us 2-0. Lee Johnson, where you beat us 4-0. Choy Adam, where if it is going up by twos, 6-0.
Well, considering we've got no fit strikers, I would love yes. a 6-0. So that'd be fun. Yeah, I was going to start with that, mate. I was going to say, yeah, third visit, third different manager. What's going on? What happened to Johnson? And do you think it was right to go?
Player powers won. The players never really stuck with Johnson, and Johnson always wanted his own team, his own players, his own staff. They wanted a rebrand of the football club, and there's probably out of the only 22, 23 players that we have at the football club, he'd probably want to work with maybe 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And the issue that he had was the players that he didn't quite get along with was your Sean Rooney's, your Jay Lynch's, your Jack Marriott's, your Jaden Stockley's, your Josh Vellers, Josh Earls, you know, Promise on Sherry. They're seven players, all our most experienced, our most influential players. And when that happens at a football club, and you saw it at Cambridge, the way they give up a little bit, had to be 3-0 down after 13 minutes, it can happen. But the way it happened was absolutely embarrassing. And let's be honest about it, that could have ended 7. You missed a penalty. You scored in the second half. I think you hit a post. I think Matt Mullen in goal makes two really good saves. And that was the issue kind of during his last kind of 7 or 8 games. We just give up in game. We conceded too many sloppy goals. And the players didn't look like they wanted to be in a Fleetwood shirt. They got off the bus, beat before already the game had even started, and looked so deflated. And that was a big issue for us. And when that happens at a football club, he had 17 games. He got 17 points in Sky Bet League One. Out of those 17 games, obviously had a few, I think he had 20 with the cup competitions as well. That says everything you need to know. And, you know, he brought me on a 2.5-year deal. It seemed to be all about Lee Johnson. A lot of things he said I could agree with, but when players aren't on board, unfortunately, players run football clubs these days. And how long until they get sick of Charlie Adam? He got sick of Scott Brown after 6 games. He got sick of Lee Johnson after 20. Well, Charlie Adam, you can smile all you want, but we played 2, lost 2. And for me, you can see there've been positive signs. Well, with 21 games to go, we're 8 points adrift. We've got 18 points and won 4 games all season. So for me, you know, there's absolutely no positives I can really say anything about Fleetwood at the moment.
That's tough to hear. I remember pre-season, there was a lot of talk, a couple of people sort of tipped Fleetwood to be in the relegation picture, citing all the things that were going on off the field with the chairman and stuff like that. I remember at the time you sort of being more positive and not thinking it would have an impact. Are you Do you think anything related to that could be, you know, impacting the squad and the players and the reason why you're getting through managers? Does it feel now, you know, halfway through the season that actually maybe the off-field stuff is impacting, or do you think this is perhaps slightly separate?
100%. Gab sort of news, you know, really good, you know, journalistic, you know, Championship League One and League Two, phenomenal. What a guy, you know, doesn't know about football that nobody knows really, let's be honest about it. But he called it and he put Fleetwood bottom of the table, which I thought was harsh at the time. I had in mind that Fleetwood would be in the bottom six, the bottom seven. I think I had Fleetwood between 16th and 18th, and I said we could get dragged in. And I got called. People goes, I think we're in the players. I think you're going a bit too harsh on Fleetwood. And I went, for me, we've got a lot of good people at Fleetwood, but for me, they've always been number twos and number threes, and Pilly's always ran the show, and he's been a good front runner, knows when to change a manager, knows when to bring a player in, and he can deal with players. He can deal. Jamie Vardy went to him when we went up on the National League, and I think he scored something like 16 goals up until January, and he went, look, we've had these bids in for you. I'm going to tell you, this is like 1.2 million. I've slapped a million on you and clubs are coming in. I promise you now, if you stay till the end of the season, I will sell you for £1 million. Whatever bid, the best bid we get in the summer, you can go and you can pick your football club. I will help you with that move to get it right for you and your family. And, you know, give him goal bonuses, give him a motivation. Pilly can do that really well. And I don't think we have that bit of leisure, that little know-how to get us out of the rut. And it feels like we've got good people at the football club, but unfortunately, it feels very much like we're lacking a leader, and we're lacking a leader off the pitch and on it as well. And it's showing from top to bottom.
Talking of leaders then, we touched on Charlie Adam, new manager. He's only two games in, so it might be a difficult question to answer this one because you haven't seen enough of him. But from what you've seen so far, what's the Charlie Adam approach of leading Fleetwood? You know, how does he set you up? How's he trying to get you to play? Or is it not obvious yet?
There's obvious signs how he wants to. He seems very much man management to get the players smiling again, to believe in them, to give them confidence. We've gone from Johnson saying we need new players, get to January, we're 4 weeks, we're 3 weeks, we're 2 weeks. Like, these players basically aren't good enough in other stutters of words. And if I don't get anything more, I'm happy to work with these players. You know, they're a delight to work with. I want them to get better. I believe in the... So already you can kind of see, man, how long that lasts. Johnson was like that for the first 2 or 3 weeks, to be fair. And that's always, if you're struggling, you're trying picking players up, aren't you? Trying to, you know, say, well done. When all of a sudden you've lost 3 or 4 in a row, things look different. And, you know, you don't quite say the same message, or, you know, things come out of stress and management. He knows the football club, Charlie Adam. He goes to a lot of the games. He lives local. His son's in the academy, I believe, as well. He's good mates with Will Watt, who's second in control at Fleetwood now, which is, you know, always helpful that he knows a club, he knows what the town is about, and he's a proper kind of Fleetwood type of manager. Lee Johnson didn't really get it. I thought Scott Brown bought into it in parts. The last Fleetwood manager that bought into the progress of Fleetwood Town was Joey Barton, to be fair to him, and you know, see what you like about him, but you know, he gave us that one good season with the biggest budget we ever had. So, you know, there is, you know, pros and cons of that, but it seems to be very man management, very much to high, you know, not very much high press, but high energy, you know, create chances, don't give up. You know, if we go 1-0 down, get the ball, still play the same way, believe in the way you want to play, get crosses into the box, get runners, and want them to get fitter and stronger and better as people as well.
The two games that you've had under Charlie Adam, how has he set you up in terms of formation? And is it the same as when you visited the Abbey in December, or is it slightly different?
It's been different in every half of every game, it feels. In the first half of Shrewsbury away, I think we played 4-1-4-1. Then we went to 4-2-3-1. Then on Saturday against Derby, we went 3-5-2. It looked at times as well. Then we kind of went a bit more forward thinking at the end. I think we went to a 4-3-3. When you're pushing on for a goal at 2-1, you get punished. We moved Boston Lowell, who's a centre-half, that's right, back into midfield, and Brendan back into centre. So it is slightly different. I think I've heard a couple of his interviews, but I think that you need a kind of fans forum to really get the views of the club. And we're 10 days into a window. I'm hoping that there's going to be some arrivals. I don't think there'll be another arrival before Saturday, but I'm hoping there's going to be another 4 or 5. I think most of our business will get done between the 20th and the 30th. I think maybe we'll get one in before then if we're lucky. But I think new arrivals are in them, and they have to come in because we do lack You know, a lot of players that we know, certainly in midfield at the moment, in the fullback area, they're our weakest area on the pitch. See, as you saw, you know, when we played in December, a lot of the goals coming from that, yeah, I think, was it the left-hand flank?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned sort of January there. You have got a new striker in, I believe,
yes,
via your sort of Irish connections. Any, what's the take on him? Do you think he's a starter, or is he more of a squad member?
It's hard to say, because we said, you know, Phoenix Patterson, I thought, was going to be a squad member, Junior Katerna, and they both turned out to be two of our flair players. You know, Ronan Coughlin scored, I think, 32 last season and 35 for Waterford. He was always going to come here. It was a no-brainer. It's a free transfer. You know, he was out of contract. He wanted English football. We wanted a striker. It fitted the bill. I don't know if it's quite a Jack Marriott type of replacement. If Jack Marriott's going to leave the football club, you know, I think he wants to go a bit closer to home, obviously being living in Northampton area still as well. You never know with the injuries that we've got at the moment. You'll probably be a squad player because of the likes of, you know, Jaden Stockley, Jack Marriott, Gabongo Shimanga, and, you know, the likes of Promise Omacheri coming back as well. But there's no reason why he can't go and grab a jersey and be in that first team, because I certainly think that, you know, that what's in front of him at the moment isn't really challenging him.
You mentioned both Marriott and Stockley, which obviously is a big pairing up front by name alone. I think there were eyebrows raised when Fleetwood signed both players. Do you feel you've been let down by either of them this year? Because they're not exactly, you know, prolific so far.
You can also say they're not getting service as well. Jaden Stockley seems to be out with a back injury a lot and not been able to get fit. To be fair to him, I think he scored 2 in 3 or 2 in 4 now. You know, and scored, you know, got into the box. It's a beautiful header against Derby. It's a really good ball in by Sean Rooney. And we need more service like that. But he's a 1 in 3. He missed a chance at 0-0. 10 minutes into the game, he scores that. The game, my opinion, is totally. You go 1-0 up at home under a new manager. The ground's bouncing. You're on Sky. Derby may or may you don't make a mistake. And this is what I mean. We are the worst team in the league at key moments. We've hit the post, I think, 11 times this season, or the bar. You know, that's one of the most in the division. And it's this lady luck at the moment that we're not quite getting. You know, for our strikers especially. You know, Jack Marriott has scored 5 or 6. He's not been brilliant, but he's not got the service. The amount of times that he's dropping deep into our own half is ridiculous. And I think I saw Neil Warnock say he'd find anyone who passed to a Delta right in his own half when he was at QPR. I'd do the same if I was at Fleetwood. Jack Marriott needs to get in between the 30-yard and the 18-yard box, into that box, to make runs, because he's an absolute handful at this level. He can go and score 20 goals, I believe in it. But he doesn't seem settled. He doesn't seem happy. Not for the fact he's at Fleetwood, for the fact that I don't think that driving, you know, 5-6 hours a day is helping. For the fact that, you know, with his tiredness, he's going to get home late, not see his family. Any day in each your life, if you're not happy at work, you're not going to work quite as hard, because, you know, you dread it. And it's natural, but when you're in a dogfight, you need players that want to play for you.
Do you think the Fleetwood we see on Saturday at the Abbey, do you think it'll be different than what we saw in December? Do you think they'll be more up for the fight? Do you think it will be a closer game?
In terms of quality, I think we're still the same. Obviously, not really many reinforcements. The only ones that are kind of back are Junior Katerna and Promise Omacheri, which are big boosts. And Adam Montgomery, I think, will come back into the fold. I don't think he'll play. But in terms of fight and energy, I think we'll be better. You know, I think at 3-0 down, the shackles came off against you. I don't think we're, after about 35 minutes, we're all right. But you're 4-0 up. You know, you're not going to exactly go for it, especially when, like, you had, you know, Charlton coming up, you had Blackpool coming up, you had really important games over that and a festive period as well. But this time, it's, you know, you're under a new manager as well, that I think some, you know, decency is coming in as well. But we should be more up for it. If you can't be up for it, 8 points adrift, when are you going to be up for it? You've got to, no disrespect, with Cambridge coming up, with, you know, Portsmouth the week after coming up as well, you think, well, Cambridge away. And that's when Willie Johnson, at times, I think he underestimated teams like Cambridge, Shrewsbury, because the amount of times I listen to his interview, he goes, this is a real opportunity. And he's like, well, Cambridge, for me, I don't think are any better than Fleetwood in terms of squad. Cambridge do the basics very well. Cambridge manage to win a game. They can keep a clean sheet. They can score a goal. They can fight to death, stick in a game of football. And while you're like that, clubs like Cambridge, clubs like Shrewsbury, clubs like Burton, Wickham, Port Vale, Leyton Orient, you know, Exeter, they have that little bit something where they can get a result without being, you know, brilliant. Fleetwood have got a decent enough budget and a decent enough squad on paper, but as Brian Clough once said, football's played on grass. You know, it's not played on paper. And, you know, Cambridge, you know, do all the basic things very well that we don't do. And if you do the basic well in football in League One, you'll get 50, 55 points and you'll stay up.
Right. Final question then, mate. How do you see Saturday panning out? What do you think the score prediction will be?
I said to Gab before, if we're going to win, right, and he laughed at me for this, I want to win 1-0, right? Because for me, get a goal with about 20 minutes to go, keep all of it, fight, stick in the game, block every block, and come away thinking, wow, what a win, what a huge win, 3 points. We need to win. It's win or bust for me. You can't go 20 games, potentially 10 points adrift, even 8 points. It's, you know, there was 60 available. We have to win. I think it'll be a draw. I think we'll get something out of the game. I can see it being a 0-0 draw, to be honest with you. I think we need a clean sheet. A clean sheet will be mass. A 0-0 wouldn't be disastrous, but it would feel like a weighted opportunity. So I'm going to go 0-0.
It's a big prediction because I think it's 11 games without a clean sheet, something like that for you guys. But
yeah, we need one.
Nappers, it's always a pleasure speaking to you. I hope things pick up both on and off the field for Fleetwood, starting after Saturday, of course.
Thank you so much.
Right, thank you very much, Nappers. I also have no idea what Nappers' real name is. Just, but anyway,
why would
maybe
you?
Maybe I'll find out on Saturday when apparently I'm going to be on his video. Unless you fancy doing that, Tom.
Absolutely no chance. Yeah, sorry,
I thought that might be an answer.
No, I'll be in the pub. Yeah.
So Nappers quoted Brian Clough there, and I just thought to myself, why when I do podcasts with Tom, does he never quote famous football managers?
This is my favourite one we've ever had.
Such a waste of time. You're such a waste of my time, Tom.
I made a few notes during that, actually. Obviously, listened to it before we started, Jord. Clough was absolutely top of the list. Finishing with a Brian Clough quote is just absolute mayhem. Brilliant from the guy. Managed to quote Neil Warnock as well, which is always good. Nice to have him in there. You asked him about how things are going this season at Fleetwood. He reeled off an anecdote about Jamie Vardy playing for them more than a decade ago.
Yeah.
And then my favourite one, which also frankly scared the shit out of me for a couple of seconds, when he said, you can say what you want about Joey Barton, but... And then I thought, oh my God, what are we about to get? That was a real concern to me. Makes some good points, I don't know.
that was Napa's third appearance on the podcast this season. He was telling me before we recorded that in one season, do you remember the Sheffield Wednesday podcast that we went on? Both you and I have sort of took it on turns. He said in one season he was on that podcast 8 times.
Jesus Christ.
Because the Sheffield Wednesday lad wanted like preview and review for the 2 league games, and then they got drawn together in the cup and the cup went to a replay.
Oh my God. He spent probably like a full working day doing that. Incredible.
Right. We should probably talk about some serious points that Napa's made. This is the third time we're playing Fleetwood.
That was enjoyable, admittedly, but absolutely was valid.
This is the third time we're playing them, and this is the third manager that they're going to have in charge, which you're a bit of a rain man with stats, Tom. Here's one for you. How many managers has a club had that we've played against in a season? Have a little think about that and answer at the end. But three is quite impressive. Nappers was suggesting that player power got Johnson fired. What do you make to that?
Player power in the Fleetwood Town dressing room.
Well, no, you laugh, but like...
I don't want to come off disrespectful, but I mean, you know what? Maybe that's the case. I don't know the dynamic of the Fleetwood Town dressing room, right? But I think it's...
But there's a few lads in there with like big wages and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bit of a delicately balanced dressing room that perhaps is hard to manage.
There's bound to be a few egos in there. Like what football dressing room hasn't got that? But and again, I reiterate, I do not know the dynamic of the Fleetwood Town dressing room. But I think it's just the fact that Lee Johnson is not a very good manager. I think that's it more than anything. And recent history is a fair reflection of that, I think. And that's pretty much what it boils down to. And Fleetwood will improve, I think. It will be difficult for them to be worse than what they have been over the last sort of 2 months. Hopefully that doesn't start on Saturday. It might very well, but look, we'll see.
Napa said that Saturday is win or bust for them. Seems quite a big statement.
Probably fair, I think. You know, he mentioned about one or two of the games they have upcoming as well. I think they'll play Pompey quite soon. And you know, if you're getting into a situation where you're, like you said, you know, quite rightly, 8 or 10 points adrift, it does look like a very long way back. So, you know.
So they're eight points currently off of Exeter. So, yeah.
Oh, not for everyone, is it? The old swiveling around the old 8 point.
There is something about this game, though. They've not kept a clean sheet in 11 games.
It's the stats, isn't it?
They've not won in a similar amount of time.
It was the clean sheet one that did me.
The FA Cup win, which admittedly neither of us were at, was so easy. There's a part of me that really does feel like this Saturday, I don't want to call it a banana skin, but definitely there's something ugly about this Saturday. Like it could be a really disappointing afternoon. And I would count not winning as a disappointment, because like we're saying at the top of the pod, like, yeah, we want to be amassing as many points as we can from these. And, you know, got these very competitive games coming up over the next 6 weeks. And the ones at home, you've got to sort of favour a little bit more. But there is just something about it, you know. We've obviously been around the block long enough to know that the new manager bounce doesn't always work. By all accounts, they have, you know, they have looked better under Charlie Adam, even though they've lost both those games. One of which, to be fair, was against Derby, who are obviously flying at the moment. Yeah, something about Saturday, Tom. Just something about Saturday. Not feeling too great.
Yeah, concern me, because I had exactly the same feeling. I don't know what it is. I think
maybe you and I should not go again, because that worked out quite well when we played Fleetwood
well,
before.
To be fair, and that obviously famously goes well quite a lot. look, I think the FA Cup game was a bit of a perfect storm, like for a lot of reasons. I know Nappers has, you know, obviously had his say on how poor they were, and that's probably justified. But you know, you think of our situation at the time. It was the first game after Bonner went. There was a bit of a natural lift. You know, players like Kachunga, for example, and Ahadme played like they hadn't played for a long time. And the reasons for that we're still not absolutely sure of, but the fact is that is what happened. Fleetwood were falling apart at the edges at the time. I don't think Lee Johnson lasted very long after that game. So, you know, it's fair to assume their players had somewhat down tools. Talk about player power, that's probably what was happening. And those two things don't go the same way this time round, right? And, you know, to add to that, our situation is probably slightly worse just in the fact that we simply don't, at the time of recording, have an available fit forward, a proper recognised striker. Kachunga might come back in, you know, we hope so. But other than that, it's kind of as you were. And we said after the Leyton Orient game, I think it's going to be difficult for us to win football matches as is. And that has, you know, obviously proved to be the case, admittedly, against an all right Blackburn team. But look, I mean, it still remains that we're playing against a team who are bottom of the league, and, you know, bottom of the league at home. Doesn't matter what situation you're in, really. It doesn't matter who your manager is. Doesn't matter what players you have or haven't got available, unless it's obviously absolutely catastrophic. That's a game that you have to be winning, and you have to be winning. And you know, it's, again, like another old-fashioned cliche, which I'm prone to rolling out, but it doesn't really matter how it comes, I feel. Particularly like this game, in this situation, in this week, with the availability of players or lack of availability of some players we've got at the moment, like just score one goal, shut it out, make it horrible, make it grim, make it nasty, and if you come out of it with 3 points, and that's job done as far as I'm concerned, then anything short of that probably is a bit disappointing. And I don't think that's disrespectful to Fleetwood. You know, you look where they are, you look what we've been doing since Harris came in. I think, you know, this is the sort of game we should be looking at realistically and going, that's 3 points. And I'd like to think that'd be the case.
Just look at the scoreline last time we played on the 2nd of December. The goal scorers, Kachunga, Okunabire, Ahadme. It just goes to show where we are.
That's too many strikers, if anything.
Yeah, you know, they're unhappy and bored in the stands and all that. Let's pick up on a couple of points from the Neil Harris press conference earlier today. I guess the main headline, we've touched on it. We are close to a signing. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this podcast, we know what that signing is. Hopefully it's not a backup goalkeeper or something ridiculous. It is the centre forward that we're after. You've touched on this already, Tom, but Kachunga's back on the grass, might have a role to play on Saturday, might get some minutes. He incidentally won player of the month for December. Happy with that decision? Would you say that's well deserved?
Yeah, delighted. Obviously coincides with them putting our name back on the goal and sub gifts. So that's good.
I noticed that we didn't get the invite to the nice looking sushi restaurant that he was pictured in with his little trophy.
You didn't. Well, I did.
Oh, well.
I was there.
Good.
Salmon Mackey all over the gaff.
just out of photo. Classic. I guess that's one to sort of file under. Don't expect too much. I'm reading, yeah, maybe he might make the bench. He might get, you know, some minutes, but it's not going to be him back from the start saving grace. So how would you, yeah, thinking about how we'd line up, would you stick with Kaikai in the false nine role? Because you don't have many other options, right?
Well, I said this after the Blackburn game, like, weirdly, I quite like seeing a setup like that. I don't think it's like necessarily like a really sustainable thing. It's not something that, you know, realistically we should do for the rest of the season. Because I think that'd be going way too far with it, to be honest, frankly.
I don't think we've got the passing ability to stick with a false nine for longer than a half of the game. But I do like Kaikai through the middle.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's something, I don't know, sign like a big lump and play the two of them together, something like that.
The thing that worries me here, George, and we've talked before about, you know, you can't necessarily kind of scenario plan your way through entire football matches. Sometimes you've got to go out from the off and try and win the game, in that way. But there is a scenario that I see where Kachunga starts and Kaikai starts, and you know, our bench looks frankly too light. And if the game doesn't pan out like we'd like it to in the first hour, at some point we're going to have to withdraw Kachunga.
Yeah.
And we're going to be weakening our forward line at a moment where we need to be strengthening it. And that's a realistic prospect. So I wonder, with how we were able to hurt Blackburn, whether Harris might go, do you know what? We'll stick with this. We'll stick with this system. And we'll take it at face value for what it is, that we believe we've created chances using this way of playing with these players, and we'll get at Fleetwood for an hour, and then we'll bring Kachunga into it if we need to. That's kind of what I see happening. But there's also a train of thought, which is like, we're crying out for someone of Kachunga's quality up there. If he's fit, he plays. And both of those, I think, are absolutely reasonable ways to look at it. But I just wouldn't want to be Neil Harris having to bring off a player like Kachunga on the hour mark or however much he can get through if we're not winning that football match, because that's going to be a really, really difficult thing to do. And it's going to be something we'd have to do, because it's unlikely he's going to come back in and play 90 minutes, I think.
Yeah. Another headline from the presser, George Thomas is training again. Back on the grass.
Caspel's loving it.
Hadme staying is another sort of note I wrote down from the presser. I think it was Caspel and I, possibly Swindle, on a previous pod where we were speculating whether Ipswich would pull him back and manage his rehab and so forth. So, yeah, so far it looks like he's staying.
I think that's probably sensible. I think there's enough games, like if we're saying he's back sort of, let's say, mid-March, for example, let's look at Reading on the 16th. If he can come back then, there's still, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I'm not going to sit here and count all of them, but there's plenty of games for him to come back and contribute in. And, you know, we've heard on a few occasions, Neil Harris teams are most successful when they've got a guy like Harris that you can build around. Sorry, a guy like Hadme that you can build around. And that alone probably makes it worth keeping him. Because otherwise you're signing someone for like the benefit of like 6 or 7 games, if that makes sense. So ideally you'd bring a couple in January that then you can sort of ease Hadme, you can ease Fajiri back into, and you know, if those more difficult games that come a little bit later on in the season, you have that added firepower which hopefully sees you through. It's easy, isn't it? It's
absolutely
easy. I nailed it.
Right then, we've touched a little bit on lineups and for Saturday. Anything else sort of that you're expecting to see? Any sort of changes at the back? Bennett to start, maybe Ryan Bennett to start, or Morrison to come back in?
I know what you're desperate to hear me say, Jord.
What, three at the back?
Christmas tree. Go on, say it.
Not saying it. I get a lot of grief from Ely based listeners for the Christmas tree. So
can't be many of them, to be fair.
not true ones, not true proper ones.
I think that is again like probably the dilemma. Like the forward part of the pitch, I guess for the most part, fitness dependent of Kachunga. That's a weird sentence. But you know that it's probably just like the back two. I think the centre backs. What do you do there? And to be honest, I just assumed for the Blackburn game that Bennett would come back in to partner Morrison, and that would be it. I almost wonder if this is a game where you need a bit of mobility in there. If Marriott plays, he's a nippy striker. But at the same time, like Ryan Bennett and Michael Morrison, like marked him out of the game at their place earlier in the season. And obviously, I know there's a lot of it's happened in between, but. Against forwards like that, do you got experience? Do you got that added mobility that Okadina can bring?
You got Stockley as well, who's back in at Fleetwood, been playing the last few games, who is a bit more physical, the bigger
I think the one criticism that we've had of Okadina throughout, really, ever since he joined on loan, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago now, is that sometimes a sort of wily old forward is the one that can pin him a little bit. That's possibly harsh on Stockley in terms of his years. But he is the sort of striker that you can see really doing a job on Okadina potentially, as much as he's someone that I really, really rate. I don't know. Like, it's good to have a couple of options there. Obviously, Rossi is one as well. I doubt we'll see him come in. But, I think whether it's Bennett, whether it's Okadina, with respect to Fleetwood, it's not necessarily the part of the pitch that gives me nightmares. It's kind of the other bit of it. And what can we do to them? I'm pretty easy with that, but I think it'll probably be fairly similar to Blackburn. I think the difference will be, can Kachunga get on the pitch? If he does, he probably plays in Kai Kai's role and everything else just shuffles around a little bit to make way for him.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think it'll be a more or less the same lineup as Blackburn, but I think we'll see Bennett and Morrison coming back together as a starting pair. Right. Should we do some score predictions? What are you saying for Saturday?
1-0. We'll scrape it. We'll get it. We'll get the job done, but not a lot more.
I think we concede. I think a 2-1. Nervy.
2-1.
To the team in amber and black, mate.
Oh, hey. That's good. That's what we like to hear. That's good. Yeah, that's positivity. And what more can you ask from us?
God, I mean, I just keep coming back to that February lineup, mate. What was that? 7 games, 8 games? That's a lot of pods. That's too many pods.
We might need to draft in an extra.
I think we need to get busy in the January window, mate. Yeah.
So if anyone's out there, particularly Sunday mornings, because that at times is quite strenuous, depending on how far away the game is, because that obviously allows us. Anyway, we don't need to go.
You could become the reverse Wes of the pod. You only pod midweek. You don't do Sunday mornings.
I think any comparison of me to Wes Houlihan is one that is a little bit far-fetched, and I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
You look great holding a pint of Guinness. That's a good comparison.
Yeah, sort of practice, that's why.
Right, it's been a pleasure, Tom.
It's been great to preview with you, Jord.
It's 8:45 on a Thursday evening. I can't wait to wake up in the morning and see what striker is under the Christmas tree. This is exciting. I'm definitely not going to be disappointed when I don't know who the bloody hell it is that's signed.
Imagine we announce like three at the same time. I mean, sure, yeah, about that. Just skip the first sort of half an hour of that. Doesn't matter.
Pull the pod. Right. Thanks, everyone. We will be back on Monday, hopefully talking about a Cambridge win. Until then, take care.